The local food movement has made it easier for you to find fresh vegetables and fruits farmed near you, but grains, not so much. Most of the bread New Englanders break is made with flour from industrial Midwest farms. That's changing, though, as some farmers, millers, and chefs try to reinvent a lost regional grain economy. In this story, WBUR's Andrea Shea explains, beginning in a kitchen.
Chef Michael Morway flips a yellow square-shaped chunk of cornbread in a pan sizzling with melted butter. He says the bread recipe is standard, but the cornmeal is not.
This is the 8-row corn. You can see all the little bits in it. Blue, red, orange.
At the Trillium Brewery restaurant in Boston, Morway serves his color-flecked bread with local cheese, cured meat, and seasonal fruit. The 8-row cornmeal is from around here, too. The chef first tasted it about 6 years ago, and it blew his mind.
It tastes like corn, number one, which cornmeal doesn't taste like corn if you buy it at Stop and Shop. It's more savory, like you're eating a cob of corn. It's bizarre.
Native Americans grew this ancient 8-row corn strain for centuries before the pilgrims arrived. Morway started using organic heritage meal for bread and polenta at his former restaurant in Plymouth. He laments how mass production mills strip flavor, fat, and nutrients from grains, including GMO corn, grown in the breadbasket of America.
They've messed with it so much just to grow faster, grow taller, grow thicker, make more money. It's nothing like it used to be, and then it makes you wonder what we did wrong. So I know where this came from. I know the farmer. I know the person that milled it.
That person is Kim Van Warmer at the Plymouth Plantation Grist Mill.
So this is a flint corn. Flint corns are the kind of corn that ended up mostly in New England because they're very hard.
Wearing a T-shirt that reads, "Where there's a mill, there's a way," Van Warmer gets ready to grind corn the pre-industrial way for visitors. Watching her and an assistant manipulate chunky antique wood and metal equipment is like stepping into a time machine.
So now we're going, but we're really not grinding corn. I'm going to give it a little extra.
A water wheel outside powers two massive circular grinding stones inside a reconstruction of the original mill that burned down in 1837. This small-scale process is a far cry from the modern behemoth mills that make most of this country's flour. Before 1900, there were more than 25,000 grist mills across the U.S. Advances in technology and transportation lured New England grain farmers and millers west. Now, Van Warmer says, an artisan movement is rebooting a local grain economy in the Northeast.
It's something that you can trace, that not only can you know the farmer that grew your tomato, you can know the farmer that grew your wheat, or know the farmer that grew the malted barley that's in the beer that you're drinking.
Van Warmer works with Rhode Island and Massachusetts farmers who raise indigenous maize that's labor-intensive and expensive to grow. She's not alone in believing the region needs more mills to convert corn and other grains for the rising ranks of bakers, brewers, and chefs fueling this revival.
We also have a lot of activists who are working behind the scenes trying to create the market and get people educated.
That's author Amy Halloran. She traces America's grain history to the current Renaissance in her book, The New Breadbasket. She says grain has been slow to catch up to the larger local food movement. Processing it requires forgotten specialized skills and critical infrastructure lost after small mills shuttered in the late 19th and early 20th centuries.
It was a part of our life to have a mill nearby. And now it's uncommon, but that is really changing.
New micro mills, kind of like micro breweries, have cropped up in New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Vermont to supply regional demand from bakers and chefs. Halloran is encouraged by the momentum, but says government incentives and wider consumer support would help get more grains in the ground.
We are never going to grow all of our grain in the Northeast and New England, but there's a lot of energy to try to restore and be able to taste fresh flour and fresh malt again.
Halloran's gateway taste was an oatmeal bar made with wheat grown and milled in New York State where she lives. One bite and she was hooked. She hopes more of us will consider what could be different next time we make a sandwich. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.